We're beginning the story of what happened on Hanukkah. The work we are studying has numerous names. It's called Megillat Antiochus. That's one of the names it's given. And there are other names there that it's been given. This is not a text that was written by the prophets, so it's not part of the Tanakh. But it is a text that was written by learned people. According to one opinion, it was written by Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Others say it was written early during the Second Temple period, but not necessarily by Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We attribute it to a Talmid Chacham, to someone who was learned, who wrote this text. And this text really appears in ancient Sidurim. Some places called it Megillat Chanukah, the story, the scroll of Chanukah. Some called it Megillat Beit Hashmonai, the scroll of the house of the Asmoneans. Some called it Megillat Antiochus, and some called it Megillat Yevanit, the Greek Megillah. And it was copied in Sidurim. It was copied over into the texts of different Sidurim. Ancient Greek Sidurim had the story printed inside. And the story is really the story of Hanukkah. It's the story of the wars that led up to and finally culminated in the victory of Hanukkah. This was read publicly. This was read privately. I learn it with my kids over Hanukkah, and we learn it here at Machon Meir for years. We've been learning it every year before Hanukkah. As preparation, we read this story. But again, we don't have a very good handle on who wrote it exactly when. We know that 1,300 years ago it was already written. But figure that the story of Hanukkah took place approximately 2,200 years ago. So that still leaves us a gap of about 800 years where we're not sure when it was written. And again, many say it was written a century after the story of Hanukkah by the disciples of Shammai and Hillel, still during the Second Temple era. So that would place it as a scroll that is 2,100 years old. So there's a question here. We don't know exactly how old it is. We do have records of this already from 1,300, 1,400 years ago. That much we do know. So we're going to begin the story. I'll read the Hebrew and translate. You'll notice that it's written in a format that's very similar to Tanakh. Vayhi bimei Antiochus melech Yavan. It was in the days of Antiochus, the king of Greece. Melech gadol v'chazak haya. He was a great and powerful king. B'memshalto, in his kingdom. V'chol ha'mlechim yishmu lo, and all the kings would listen to him. V'ukavash medinot rabot. He conquered many countries. U'mlechim chazakim, and powerful kings. V'echriv tirotem v'echlehim. Saraf ba'ish. He destroyed their castles, he burnt down their churches, and he took their men into captivity in his jails. From the days of Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedon, no king arose who was as powerful as he on that side of the Euphrates. He built a great city by the seaside to be his capital. Vaikala mendinat Antiochia al shmo. He named this great capital Antiochia, named after himself. The Gambagris Mishneu, and his second in command, was named Bagris. Banam dinachot lenegda. He built another city corresponding to that one. Vaikala Bagris al shmo. And he named his great city after himself. He called it Bagris. V'chen shmotan adayom hazeh. Until today, they carry those names. Bishnat 23 lemolchot. Was 23 years into his reign. Hishnat 213 levinyan beit elokim hazeh. That is 213 years after this temple was built. Sounds like the Megillah is being written while the temple is still in existence, because they write this temple. Sounds like they're referring to a temple that everyone knows about. Sam panav lalot Yerushalayim. He focused himself to ascend against Jerusalem. Vayan vayomer lesarav. And so Antiochus says to his officers, halo yedatem ki yesham ha-yehudim asher b'Yerushalayim b'tochenu. Don't you know there's this nation, the Jews, who live in Jerusalem? They're in our midst, they're within our reign. Leilokeinu einam makrivim. they don't sacrifice to our gods, and they don't practice our religion. They leave the king's religion, they just do what they believe. And they anticipate a time when their Messiah will come, and the kingdoms and the rulers will be broken. And they keep saying, when will our king take the throne? And then we will have control over the sea and the dry land. And the world will be given into our hands. It is not befitting, it is not honorable for our kingdom to leave the Jews on the face of the earth. So let's ascend against them. And let us annul their covenant that they have, that is Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh Milah. So here in the Megillah, it is declared that the war is about severing our covenant with God. The goal, the pre-declared goal of the Greeks was to cause the Jews to separate from their belief, from their connection to Hashem. And so they identified 3 points that connect us to Hashem. Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and our circumcision Milah. Shabbat is in the nature, within nature, the cycle of the week. So there we have one day where we rest and we show Hashem is King. Rosh Chodesh is where we set a calendar that's not necessarily about nature, it's more our control of time. Whereas Shabbat is the cycle, the week that everyone goes with. Rosh Chodesh is unique to the Jews, our calendar. And there we define our holidays, etc. And Milah is what every Jew does with his child. It's the covenant we have with Hashem that's engraved in our bodies. So they said, those are the 3 mitzvot we will try to undo. So his officers and all his soldiers liked the idea. At that time, Nicanor arose and he sent his second in command, Nicanor, and he sent him with a large army. And he entered Judean territory, he entered Jerusalem. So the army entered Jerusalem and killed masses. And they erected an idol in the temple. In the place where Hashem says he will be present forever, on that place they erected an idol. Then they brought a pig and they slaughtered it there in the temple. And they brought its blood into the holy courtyards where we don't even dare set foot, the Jewish people, only the Kohanim. So when the high priest Yochanan ben Matityahu heard that this was done, so he got very angry, his face changed. So he thought to himself, what can I do? They're doing this in the Beit HaMikdash. Yochanan says, I'm the Kohen Gadol. What can I do? V'az Yochanan bin Matityahu asa lo cheriv. So he prepared himself a sword. Shtei amot orka v'zeot achat rochba. It was 2 arms length long, and it was wide, a zeret, almost like a hand's width. Tachat begadav atufa. He wrapped it under his clothing. So he wears it under his clothing and he comes to Jerusalem and he comes to the gates and he says to the guards, I am Yochanan ben Matitya, I want to enter before your general Nicanor. So they went, the gateskeepers, the guards went to Nicanor and said to him, HaKohen HaGadol MaYudim Omed Batei HaPetach, the high priest of the Jews is standing at the gates. So Nicanor said, let him in. So Yochanan was brought before Nicanor. Now, what the Megillah doesn't tell us is the backdrop to the scene. The Greeks are trying to superimpose their philosophy on the Jews. The Greeks are working hard and succeeding. Many Jews are adopting the Greek approach, the Greek philosophy, and they're helping the Greeks and telling the Jews, why don't you also adopt this philosophy? So now when Yochanan is coming, the Greeks are looking at him and wondering, where do his beliefs, where do they stand? So Nicanor sees Yohanan, vaya Nicanor veyomer leYohanan. So Nicanor said to Yohanan, ato echad min amodim asher maldu b'melech. You're one of those who rebel against the king. Veina mevakshim et shlom malchut. You're one of those who do not seek peace with the kingdom. We are always blamed as the ones who are not seeking peace. They just murdered tons of Jews, but we're the ones who don't seek peace. Vayan Yohanan lifnei Nicanor vayomar. So Yohanan says to Nicanor, Adoni atahu, ata anihu, ata bati lefanecha. We're at the top of page 25. He says, yes, it is I, and so I've come before you. Lasot kol asher tachpots. I'm prepared to do whatever you want. Vayan Nicanor vayomar liYohanan. So Nicanor says to Yohanan, in kirtzoni atam vakesh lasot. If you really want to do what I want, kach chazir, then I want you to take a pig, ushchot oto latzelem, and slaughter it before our idol. Val bishcha bigdei malchut. And then I will give you royal clothing, val kivcha, al susa melech, and will get let you ride on the king's horse, uchachan moave amelech tiye. And then you will be considered one of the king's good friends, one of the king's beloved. Mechasher shama Yohanan, and when Yohanan heard that, Heshivo davar, so he answered the following, Adoni, my master, ani arei mibnei Yisrael. I am concerned. What about the Jews? Ben ishmu kasiti chen. If the Jews hear that I've done that, uskaluni bavanim, they'll stone me with stones. Ata yetzecholish mi lefanecha. He says, you know what? It's a great idea, but I need everyone out of the room. Take out all the people from the Beit HaMikdash. Pen yodiu livnei Yisrael. I don't want them to tell the Jews what I've done. As Nicanor rotzi mi lefanav kolish. So Nicanor tells everyone, leave. At that point, Yohanan ben Matityahu raised his eyes to heaven. And he arranged his prayer before his God by Yomar and said the following, Elokai velokei avotai, my God, the God of my forefathers, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Al tim sereini, don't hand me bidei arel hazeh into the hands of this uncircumcised one, ki yargeni, because if he kills me, veyelech veyishtabach bevet agon Elohav, he will go and praise his pagan, his idol, veyomar Elohai netano v'yadi, and then he'll say, you see, our Greek God gave the Jewish priest in my hands. Botasha pasay lav shalosh psiot. At that point, after his prayer, Yohanan took three steps forward towards Nicanor, vayitka cherev belibo, he stabbed him in the heart, and his sword penetrated directly into Nicanor's heart, vayishlech oto chalal v'azarat kodesh, and he left him lying there in the holy courtyard, dead. Vayan Yohanan lifnei Elohai shamayim vayomar, and Yohanan said before the God of heavens, Elohai lo tasim alai chet al kiharakti bevet mikdashcha, God, please don't consider it a transgression that I killed him in your holy temple. Ataken titen et kol ha'amim asher ba'u imo l'chatzor Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Just as you allowed me to defeat the general Nicanor, you should allow us to defeat all our enemies that have now taken over Judea and Jerusalem. Az yatza Yohanan ben Matityahu v'yomahu v'ilechem b'amimeile. Yohanan then led a mass rebellion, and he fought the nations that had entered Jerusalem. And he was very victorious. He was able to kill many of the soldiers that had plundered Jerusalem. And those that escaped boarded their ship and fled out of Israel. So stage one, the Greeks win. They take over Jerusalem, they defile the temple. Stage two, Yohanan ben Matityahu defeats the general, leads a rebellion, and the Jews win. We're not done. This is just the beginning. So the Jews manage to chase away all the Greek soldiers that have taken over Jerusalem. ומספר ההרוגים אשר רק ביומו 72,700 soldiers were defeated, were killed on that day. So one of the things that happened is that the soldiers ended up fighting within themselves, the Greek soldiers, and that's why so many soldiers were killed. And when he came back to the Beit HaMikdash, he erected a pillar and named that pillar Maccabi. Maccabi means one who was able to kill those who were stronger than him. So the story's just begun. The Greeks had entered Israel and conquered everything and defiled the Beit HaMikdash. Yochanan ben Matityahu leads a rebellion. They won. Step one, we're not done. Now the story begins. So when Antiochus the king heard that his second in command, Nicanor, was killed, Tsar Lomodi was very upset. So he summoned Bagris the wicked, Hamatetamo, who would keep confusing his people to serve idols. So Antiochus says to Bagris, have you heard? Do you realize what the Jews have done to me? They killed my soldiers. They looted my camps. They defeated my officers. You Greeks, think to yourself. You think your money is safe? You think your homes are safe? The only way we can be safe is if we attack the Jews and sever their covenant with God. Shabbat Rosh Chodesh Umilah. The three commandments, Shabbat, the calendar, and the circumcision. As Bagri Sarashav Cholomachnotav Baul Yerushalayim. So they arranged their forces a second time. And this time Bagris leads the forces and they re-enter Jerusalem. So the Greeks have returned and they kill masses. They take over all of Jerusalem. And they make a decree that no one may circumcise their child. No one may rest on Shabbat. No one may abide by the Jewish calendar. So the king gives out this decree and they are zealously pursuing anyone who annuls the decree. They found the man who circumcised his son. So what did the Greeks do? They placed the child and next to the child they hung his father and mother and they left them in public like that. The baby lying under the bodies of the man and the woman hanging. And this was a message to the Jews. No one going to get away with circumcising their sons. There was a woman whose husband had died. She was a widow. And now she circumcised her son alone when he was 8 days old. She went up on the walls of Jerusalem and she held the baby after circumcision. And she called out. So Bagris was standing below with his men and she's holding the baby that she just circumcised. And she said, Lecha omrim Bagris Arasha, I represent the Jewish people. And I'm telling you, Bagris the wicked, Atem choshvim levatel meitanu habrit asher koret imanu. You think you can annul our covenant? God is still having a covenant with us. Brit avoteinu lo nivatel mimenu. The covenant of our forefathers will never be annulled from us, the Jewish people. Brit avoteinu lo nivatel mimenu, Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, Umila, mibnei vaneinu lo yusar. We, the Jewish people, declare we will continue abiding by Shabbat. We will continue keeping Rosh Chodesh. We will continue circumcising our sons. So she sees the soldiers are headed towards her. She's going to die. She's finished. But she had to make that public declaration. And with that, she and her son went off the wall. She wasn't going to wait for them to torture her to death. And they both died. There were many Jews that knew that they were forfeiting their lives, but they would not give in. Now that's the halacha. The halacha says that at a time of Shmad, when the nations make a decree and their sole intent is to break us from the observance of mitzvot, at that time we have to be willing to give up our life on any mitzvah. The concept that there are three mitzvot we have to give up our lives for are under normal circumstances. But when there's a time that their goal is to break us, when their goal is you will annul your covenant with God, at that time Chazal say, even if they tell you to change a shoelace, you have to say, I won't. You'll have to kill me because I won't change my shoelace. Because then it's a fight for the spirit of the people. And then Chazal say, this is written in the Rambam, this is written in Shulchan Aruch, that's what's called Bishat HaShmad. Shmad means their goal is to force us to leave Judaism. At that time, the halacha says you have to be willing to give up your life for any mitzvah. And if you guys want, we will learn the Rambam's letter about this to the Jews of Yemen, who were being told to convert or die. And then Rambam wrote another letter called Igeret HaShmad, the letter about how a Jew is supposed to behave when non-Jews are forcing conversion. The Yemenite letter, in that letter, Rambam also discusses when's Mashiach coming, why don't we believe in Muhammad, why, etc. It's a much broader letter. The Igeret HaShmad focuses on one thing: how you deal with a generation, how a generation is supposed to deal when they have such decrees. So the Jews are stubborn. That's our strength. Am Kshei Oref. We don't give in. And so Jews are continuing to circumcise. So at that time the Jews said to one another, we're on page 30, so the Jews said, let's go to caves. We'll keep Shabbat in the caves, because if we're at home, the Greeks aren't letting us keep Shabbat. As it says in the Medrash Rabbah, the Greeks would remove the doors from the Jews' homes, so the Jews couldn't have any privacy. Everyone saw what went on in the home. And the Greeks would force the Jews to engrave on the horns of their oxen, the ox that they plowed with, I have no portion in the God of Israel. Every Jew was forced to engrave that in the horns of his ox. So the Jews were being pushed in every direction. So the Jews said, let's go to the caves and keep Shabbat there. Pen nechalelet yom haShabbat, lest we desecrate the day of Shabbos. Vayalshinu aleim lifnei Bagris. So someone told Bagris what was going on. As we said, it wasn't so simple. There were Jews in the midst who were faithful to the Greeks. Now, if you want a modern day story, you can go back to the previous Rebbe of Chabad, who was in Russia, and he was standing in front of a crowd, and he knew that in the crowd there were people who were from the KGB, there were Jews who were going to tell the Russians exactly what he said, and he stood up there and he said, we the Jewish people cannot give up on our covenant. We have to keep Shabbat, we have to keep Kashrut, we have to keep the circumcision. All the mitzvot that it says in the Torah we keep, and just because the Russians are persecuting us does not give us a right to forgo our mitzvot. We must hold on. And you know what happened next? They put him in jail. They sent him to Siberia, where he and his wife died. But he did it. He did it for the sake of the mitzvah, like it says here. He knew that there were people who would tell the Russians what he had said. He knew full well. He knew he's not going to get away with it. But he also knew he had to say what had to be said. So he stood up and he said it. That's one of the most amazing stories. I'm saying it's our century. It's a tzaddik in our time. So the Jewish people also had people in their midst in the time of Hanukkah who went and told the Greeks exactly what was going on. As Bagris HaRasha Shalach Anashim Chamushim. So Bagris the wicked sent armed men. They went and sat at the entrance to the cave. They called into the cave and they said, Yehudim, Jews, Tzu Eleinu, come out to us. Ichlu Milachmeinu. Why don't you eat our bread? Drink our wine. Why don't you behave like the Greeks? We're willing to give you equal rights, right? That was the strength of the Greek system. The Greeks gave equal rights to all citizens, right? The unified law. So their goal was to have this equality throughout their kingdom, but everyone had to be like everyone. You couldn't have a Greek kingdom with the Jews, the exception, who wouldn't accept the Greek ideology. So the Jews started discussing inside the cave. They said, we remember what God commanded us on Sinai. God says, work 6 days and rest on the seventh. We are better off dying in this cave than desecrating the day of Shabbos. So when the Jews did not leave the cave, they brought wet wood and they made a huge fire at the entrance to the cave with wet wood, and the smoke filled the cave. You had about 1,000 men and women who were suffocated to death inside the cave. ואחרי כן גזר להם בגריס הרשע שלטובו נערה אצל בעלה אשר טובו בתחילה למלך. The next decree Bagris made was that any Jewish maiden who would get married could not enter the wedding and go be with her husband until she first spent the night with the king. והייתה לחשמונאי זה נערה. And so the חשמונאי had a daughter. It was according to one medrash the daughter of Matityahu. והיו סוברים לתת אותה לבגריס הרשע. I guess. So they were on their way to fulfill the king's commandment to give her to the king for a night before she goes to her husband. And when she saw that they thought they were going to do that, tzaka, tzaka, gedola umara, she cried bitterly. She said, how could you do this? You're giving me into his hands? She tore off her clothing. And there are different versions to this medrash. According to one version, they were on their way to take her. They were in a public street, and she tore off all her clothing, and she stood there naked. So they ran to her, and they said, we're Kohanim, how could you do that? You're desecrating our name. And she said, I'm desecrating your name, and what you're doing is okay? For me to stand there like this is not proper. But for you to take me to the king and tell him he could violate me all night long, that is proper. How could you be doing that? So she made an act, and it, often in Jewish history there's an act that's a wake-up call to people. She said to them, my brothers, how could you do this and give me over to this man, this wicked person? Why don't you do like your forefathers do? You should be zealous like the sons of Yaakov were zealous over their sister Dina. And God should help you. He created the heaven and the earth. And this is the turning point. So we had the Greeks enter, and then the Jews won. And then the Greeks re-enter. And the Jews are subservient to the Greeks for a period, and they're suffering. And then there's a moment where a girl says, you guys can't do this. You have to fight. Then the five sons of Matityahu, as you correctly pointed out, she was their sister. So Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, and his four brothers went out. They waged war. And this is where, and they attacked, and they were victorious. So, round four, Jews win. So Bagris summons his forces and they leave. So we had Greek, Jew. Greek, Jew. Okay, round four, the Jews win. In the interim, a lot of people died. So now, the Jews have won round four. But we're not done yet. Because Bagris goes back with his men. And this is where we'll pick up Bezrat Hashem. In the final stage of this war on Thursday night, we will Bezrat Hashem finish the story of the battles of the Hasmoneans, the Hashmonaim, with the Greeks. Simply because I think we should do Parsha. If you guys want to finish the story tonight, we can. But I think we can finish on Thursday. Let's go to Parsha. We did most of the story so far. Say there.